Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, international borders have long been reliable indicators of where one country ends and another begins. History shows that when borders are redrawn, it's usually because one region takes over another area through violence or when land is divided after a war through international agreements. But occasionally, land is traded or sold peacefully. But what about when boundaries shift due to other more environmental circumstances? Well, this has happened in the case of Switzerland and Italy, as both countries have redrawn part of their border in the Alps due to melting glaciers caused by climate change. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Klaus Dodds, who's Professor of Geopolitics and Executive Dean for the School of Life Sciences and Environment at Royal Holloway University of London. Good morning to you, Professor Dodds.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Not at all. You're very welcome. So let's talk about this particular situation, Switzerland and Italy. What is the background to the rectifying of the border between the two due to the melting glaciers? What happened?
Yeah, so essentially about 15, 20 years ago, it was recognized that these high altitude, very, very remote international boundaries were shape-shifting. And as you rightly said, the European Alps has experienced extraordinary warming. So things that were once thought of as stable are no longer reliably frozen. So that might be glaciers, that might be snow fields. It can also mean, for example, mountain ridges no longer look and feel like a ridges because of snow melt, avalanches. And so the physical geographies of those high altitude points were just no longer seen as useful in terms of demarcating borders.
And we have faster melting glaciers. And in this region, we can see that, can't we?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you've seen a suite of stories in the last couple of years worrying about the future of ski resorts in the European Alps. I should also point out that it's not just Switzerland and Italy. Austria has also been in negotiation with those countries as well, because, again, they all coalesce around this mountain range.
So this negotiation then between Switzerland and Italy, did it happen amicably and peacefully?
Yes. I mean, I think the really important part of all of this is a recognition that a border can and does move. And you can only do these agreements if you have very, very high levels of trust and goodwill on both sides. Because the question, you know, one should be asking is, where would such an arrangement be simply unimaginable? And that then gives you a clue about how extraordinary this is and how pragmatic it is.
Because in this particular case, I mean, this area is close to where you have very lucrative ski resorts, which I think you mentioned a moment ago.
Yes.
But I mean, if you're going to work out your border and things are going to change, your bottom line as a country might change as well, depending on where that line is drawn.
So I think the key concern is actually potentially over future water resources, because the thing to bear in mind is the European Alps is absolutely crucial when it comes to replenishing major river systems. So every spring, summer, when we have meltwater, that meltwater then helps to support and sustain downstream communities. And that might be agriculture, but it might also be entire cities. So I would say water security, as much as ensuring the future prosperity of the ski economy, is at stake here. But the point I made earlier also stands. This idea of the moving border would never fly in a region like, for example, South Asia. Can you imagine India and China agreeing to a moving border? Unthinkable.
Mm-hmm. And it's happening, isn't it, in other areas where we have these geographical phenomenons happening and disputes are arising between Nepal and China, for example, and India, rather.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so what we're seeing is that on the one hand, climate change is absolutely discombobulating the kind of physical geographies of mountains and rivers, for that matter. But at the same time as well, particularly where you've got authoritarian or deeply populist governments, there is a long-standing appeal in terms of trying to grab extra territory, even if we're only talking square metres, it becomes highly, highly emotive.
And back in Europe, there was an interesting border alteration between the Netherlands and Belgium in recent times, and that didn't compromise the integrity of either nation. So what happened in that instance?
So in that instance, these are two countries with, again, very high levels of trust and collaboration, agreeing that, in this case, a shared river boundary was creating an inconvenience on both sides, because the way that the river was working was creating either no man's lands in the middle of the river system, or it was creating unwanted enclaves. And so what they agreed was, is effectively to do a bit of a territory swap, a land swap, to make life easier on both sides. It was easier in the sense of that neither of these areas was inhabited. Belgium gave up more territory than the Netherlands. But on balance, both countries decided that it was useful and it wasn't worth arguing about any further. So again, trust, goodwill, is absolutely integral to the idea of the moving border.
So I suppose what we're seeing is that the rest of the world could learn from the cool heads and the examples that you've outlined in Europe.
I think there is something in that, but I'd also say there are other consequences of climate change we just need to be aware of, and some of them are catastrophic. You know, I don't have to over-rehearse the fate of low-lying islands in the Pacific or the Indian Ocean, for example. Bangladesh faces extraordinary change due to flooding. So you're absolutely right. I think there are things we can learn from, but again, I think you can't get away from the basic premise of what I've started the conversation with, is the Earth is changing, and we do need to have, as you rightly say, cool heads to come to terms with all of this.
Klaus, thank you very much for joining us. Klaus Dodds there, Professor of Geopolitics and Executive Dean for the School of Life Sciences and Environment at the Royal Holloway University in London.